Hauptmann, chief of field operations for the Federal Republic of Germany's police, looked around the Führer suite in disgust. He had arrived from Bonn and headed straight for the Donau Hotel, determined to make some sense of the scandals, tragedies, and mysteries of the previous night. The first suspect he grilled was Freiherr Hagbard Schelin, sinister jet-set millionaire, who had come to the rock festival with a large entourage. Schelin and Hauptmann talked quietly in one corner of the suite of the Donau Hotel, while the cameras of police photographers clicked away behind them. Hauptmann was tall and thin, with close-cropped silver-gray hair, long vulpine features, and piercing eyes.
"Dreadful tragedy, the death of your president last night," he said. "My condolences. Also for the unhappy state of affairs in your country."
Actually, Hauptmann was delighted to see the United States of America falling into chaos. He had been 15 at the end of World War II, had been called to the colors as the Allies advanced on German soil, and had seen his country overrun by American troops. All of this made a deeper and more lasting impression on him than the U.S.-West-German cooperation that developed later.
"Not my president, not my country," said Hagbard quickly. "I was born in Norway. I lived in the U.S. for quite some time and did become a citizen for a while when I was much younger than I am now. But I renounced my American citizenship years ago."
"I see," said Hauptmann, trying unsuccessfully to conceal his distaste for Hagbard's indistinct sense of national identity. "And what country today has the honor of claiming you as a citizen?"
Smiling, Hagbard reached for the inside pocket of the brass-button navy blue yachtsman blazer he had worn for the occasion. He handed his passport to Hauptmann, who took it and grunted with surprise.
"Equatorial Guinea?"
He looked up, frowning.
"Fernando Poole?"
"Quite so,"
said Hagbard, a white-toothed grin breaking through his dark features.
"I will accept your expression of sympathy for the sad state of affairs in that country."
Hauptmann's dislike of this Latin plutocrat grew deeper. The man was undoubtedly one of those unprincipled international adventurers who carried citizenship the way many freighters carried Panamanian registry. Chilean's wealth was probably equal to or greater than the total wealth of Equatorial Guinea, yet it was likely that he had done nothing for his adopted country other than bribe a few officials to obtain the citizenship. Equatorial Guinea had split asunder, nearly plunging the world into a third and final war. And yet here was this parasitical Mediterranean fop, driving to a rock festival in a Bugatti Royale, with a host of drones, yes-men, flunkies, minions, whores, dope fiends, and all-around social liabilities. Disgusting. Hagbard looked around.
"This room is a pretty foul place to have a conversation. How can you stand that smell? It's nauseating me."
Pleased to be causing some discomfort to this man, whom he disliked more and more as he got to know him, Hauptmann settled back in the red armchair, his teeth bared in a smile.
"You will forgive me, Freiherr Schelin. I find it necessary to be here at this time, and also necessary to talk to you. However, I would have thought this peculiar odor of fish would not be unpleasant to you. Perhaps your nautical dress has led me astray."
Hagbard shrugged.
"I am a seaman of sorts, but just because a man likes the sea doesn't mean he wants to sit next to a ton of dead mackerel. What do you think it is, anyway?"
"I have no idea. I was hoping you could identify it for me."
"Just dead fish, that's all it smells like to me. I'm afraid you may be expecting more from me all around than I can possibly provide. I suppose you think I can tell you a lot about last night. Just what are you trying to find out?"
"First of all, I want to find out what actually happened. What we have, I think, is a case of drug abuse on a colossal scale. And we, the Western world in general, have had too many of those in recent years. Apparently, there is not a single person who was present at this festival who did not partake of some of this soft drink dosed with LSD.
Treat every man to his dessert, and none should escape tripping,"
said Hagbard.
"I beg your pardon?"
"I was parodying Shakespeare,"
said Hagbard.
"But it's not very relevant. Please go on."
"Well, so far, no one has been able to give me a coherent or plausible account of the evening's events,"
said Hauptmann.
"There have been at least 27 deaths that I'm fairly sure of. There has been massive abuse of LSD. There are numerous accounts of pistol, rifle, and machine gun fire somewhere on the shore of the lake. A number of witnesses say they saw many men in Nazi uniforms running around in the woods. If that wasn't a hallucination, dressing as a Nazi is a serious crime in the Federal Republic of Germany. So far, we have managed to keep much of this out of the papers by holding the press people who came here incommunicado. But we will have to determine precisely what crimes were committed and who committed them. And we must prosecute them vigorously. Otherwise, we will appear to the whole world as a nation incapable of dealing with the wholesale corruption of youth within our borders.
All nations are wholesale corruptors of youth,
said Hagbard.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Hauptmann grunted, seeing in his mind's eye a vision of drug-crazed masqueraders in Nazi uniforms, and himself in a German army uniform over 30 years ago at the age of 15, and understanding very well what Hagbard meant.
I have my job to do, he said sullenly.
See how much more pleasant the world is now that the sours are gone.
The Dalai Lama flashed into his brain. Hagbard kept a poker face. Hauptmann went on.
Your own role in the incident seems to have been a constructive one, Freiherr Celine. You are described as going to the stage when the hysteria and the hallucinating had reached some sort of climax and making a speech which greatly calmed the audience.
Hagbard laughed.
I have no idea at all what I said. You know what I thought? I thought I was Moses and that they were the Israelites and I was leading them across the Red Sea while the Pharaoh's army, intent on slaughtering them, pursued.
The only Israelites present last night seem to have fared rather badly. You're not Jewish yourself, are you, Freiherr Celine?
I'm not religious at all. Why do you ask?
I thought that then, perhaps, you could shed some light on the scene we find here in these rooms. Well, no matter for the moment. It is interesting that you thought you led them across the lake. In fact, this morning, when the police reserves entered the area, they found most of the young people wandering around on the shore of the lake opposite the festival.
Well, perhaps we all marched around it while we thought we were going across it,
said Hagbard.
By the way, didn't you have any men at the festival at all? If you did, they should be able to tell you something.
We had a few plainclothes agents there, and they could tell me nothing. All but one had unknowingly taken the LSD, and the one who didn't must have been hallucinating too, from some kind of psychological contagion. He saw the Nazis, a glowing woman 100 feet tall, a bridge across the lake. Sheer garbage. As you doubtless noticed, there were no uniformed police there. Arrangements were made and sanctioned at the highest level of government to leave policing at the festival to its management. It was felt that, given the attitudes of youth today, official police would not be effective in handling the huge crowd. I might say, in my own opinion, I consider that a cowardly decision. But I'm not a politician, thank God. As a result of that decision, order keeping at the festival was ultimately in the hands of people like yourself who happened to be inspired to do something about the situation and were themselves hampered as involuntary victims of LSD.
Well,
said Hagbard,
in order to fully understand what happened, you have to realize that many people there probably welcomed an acid trip. Many must have brought their own acid and taken it. I, personally, have had a great deal of experience with LSD. A man of my wide-ranging interests, you understand, feels obligated to try everything once. I was taking acid back when it was still legal everywhere in the world.
Of course,
said Hauptmann sourly. Hagbard looked around the room and said,
have you considered the possibility that these men, old as they are, might have unknowingly imbibed LSD and suffered heart failure or some such thing?
There were 23 dead men in the suite. 13 were in the large parlor where Hagbard and Hauptmann were sitting. The dead men, too, were seated in various attitudes of total collapse, some with their heads lolling back, others bent forward at the waist, heads hanging between their knees, knuckles resting on the floor. There were 9 more old men in the bedroom, and 1 in the bathroom. Most of them were white-haired, several were completely bald. Not one could have been under 80 years of age, and several appeared to be over 90. The man in the bathroom had been caught by death in the embarrassing position of sitting on the toilet with his pants down. This was the old gentleman with the white mustache and the unruly forelock who had spoken harshly to George in the lobby the night before last. Hauptmann shook his head.
"I'm afraid it will be no easy task to find out what happened to these men. They all seem to have died at about the same moment. There are no observable traces of poison, no signs of struggle or pain, except for the expression around the eyes. All of their eyes are open, and they appear to be looking at some unguessable horror."
"Do you have any idea who they are? Why did you say I might have been able to help if I were Jewish?"
"We have found their passports. They are all Israeli citizens. That in itself is quite odd. Generally, Jews that old do not care to come to this country, for obvious reasons. However, there was an organization connected with the Zionist movement founded here in Ingolstadt on May 1st, 1776. These elders of Zion might have assembled here to celebrate the anniversary."
"Oh, yes,"
said Hagbard.
"The Illuminati of Bavaria, wasn't it? I remember hearing about them when we first arrived here."
"The organization was founded by an unfrocked Jesuit, and its membership consisted of Freemasons, Freethinkers, and Jews. There were also some famous names in politics and the arts. King Leopold, Goethe, Beethoven."
"And this organization was behind the Zionist movement, you say?"
Hauptmann brushed away the suggestion with long, slender fingers.
"I did not say they were behind anything. There are always those who think that every political or criminal phenomenon must have something behind it. There is always a conspiracy that explains everything. That is unscientific. If you wish to understand events, you must analyze the masses of the people and the economic, cultural, and social conditions in which they live. Zionism was a logical development out of the situation of the Jews during the last 100 years. One need not imagine some group of illuminated ones thinking it up and promulgating the movement for devious reasons of their own. The Jews were in a wretched condition in many places. They needed somewhere to go. A child could have seen that Palestine was an attractive possibility."
"Well,"
said Hagbard,
"if the Illuminati have no importance in the history of Israel, what are these 23 old Israelis doing here on the day of the organization's founding?"
"Perhaps they thought the Illuminati were important. Perhaps they themselves were members. I shall make inquiries to Israel about their identities. Relatives will probably claim the bodies. Otherwise, the German government will see that they are buried in Ingolstadt Jewish Cemetery with proper rabbinical ceremonies. The government is very solicitous of Jewish persons nowadays."
"Maybe they were free thinkers,"
said Hagbard.
"Maybe they wouldn't like being buried with religious ceremonies."
"The question is wearisome and unimportant,"
said Hauptmann.
"We shall consult the Israeli government and do as it suggests."
An elderly waiter knocked and was admitted by one of Hauptmann's men. He pushed a serving cart bearing a magnificent silver coffee urn, cups, and a tray full of pastries. Before serving anyone else, he rolled the cart across the thick carpet to Hauptmann and Hagbard. His roomy eyes studiously avoided the bodies scattered around the suite. He poured out coffee for both men.
"Lots of cream and sugar,"
said Hagbard.
"Black for me,"
said Hauptmann, picking up a pastry with cherry filling and biting into it with relish.
"How do you know somebody hasn't dosed the coffee or the pastry with LSD?"
said Hagbard, smiling mischievously. Hauptmann brushed his hand over his hair and smiled back.
"Because I would put this hotel out of business if I were served food tainted in any way, and they know it. They will take the utmost precautions.
Now that we're being a little more sociable and drinking coffee together,
said Hagbard,
let me ask you a favor. Turn me loose today. I have interests to look after in the U.S. and I'd like to be leaving.
You were originally planning to stay for the entire week. Now, suddenly, you have to leave at once. I don't understand.
I was planning to stay, but that was before most of the U.S. government got wiped out. Also, since the remainder of the festival is being called off, there's no reason to stay. I'm still not clear on that, however. Why is the festival being called off? Whose idea is it, and what are the reasons?
Hauptmann stared down his long nose at Hagbard and took another bite of the pastry, while Hagbard wondered how the man could eat in the midst of this awful smell. He could understand how a detective would not be bothered by the presence of the dead, but the fishy smell was something else again.
To begin with, Freiherr Trelin, there is the disappearance and a possible death by drowning of four members of the Saure family, known as the American Medical Association. Accounts of what happened to them are garbled, fantastic, and contradictory, as are those of every other incident that occurred last night. As I reconstructed, they drove their car straight into the lake.
From which side?
Hauptmann shrugged.
It hardly matters. The lake is virtually bottomless. If they're in there, I doubt that we will ever find them. They must have been under the influence of LSD, and they certainly weren't used to it.
He looked accusingly at Hagbard.
They were so clean-cut. Absolutely the hope of the future. And the car was a national relic. A great loss.
Were they the only well-known casualties?
Who can say? We have no accurate record of who was attending the festival. No list was kept of those who bought tickets, as should have been done. 1,000 young men and women could have drowned themselves in that lake, and we wouldn't know about it. In any case, the Saures, as you may not know, were the moving spirits behind the Engelstadt Festival. Very patriotic. They wished to do something to promote tourism to Germany, particularly of Bavaria, since they were native Bavarians.
Yes,
said Hagbard.
I read that Ingolstadt was their hometown.
Hauptmann shook his head.
Their press agents gave that out when the festival was conceived. Actually, they were born in northern Bavaria, in Wolframs-Eschenbach. It is the birthplace of another famous German musician, the Menzinger Wolfram von Eschenbach, who wrote Parsifal. Well, now they are gone, barring a miracle, and no one else seems to be in charge. Without them, the festival is simply collapsing like a headless body. Furthermore, the government wants the festival shut down because we don't want a repetition of last night. LSD is still illegal in West Germany, unlike the U.S.
There are parts of the U.S. where it's still illegal,
said Hagbard.
It's not illegal in Equatorial Guinea because we've just never had a drug problem there.
Since you are an enthusiastic citizen of Equatorial Guinea, I am sure that delights you,
said Hauptmann.
Well, Freiherr Trelin, I would like to release you immediately. But when I've pieced together more of last night's events, I shall have more questions for you. I must ask you to stay in the Ingolstadt area.
Hagbard stood up.
If you'll agree not to have me tailed or guarded, I'll give you my word that I'll stick around.
Hauptmann smiled thinly.
Your word won't be necessary. Every road is blocked. No planes are permitted to take off or land at Ingolstadt Aerodrome. You can have the run of the town, the lake, and the festival area, and you will not be disturbed.
Hagbard left at the same time the old waiter did. The waiter bowed Hagbard out the door, and when it closed behind him, said,
A great shame.
Well,
said Hagbard,
they were all in their 80s. That's a good age to die.
The waiter laughed.
I am 75, and I do not think any age is a good age to die. But that is not what I was referring to. Perhaps mein Herr did not notice the fish tank in the room. It was broken, and the fish were spilled all the floor. I have taken care of that tank for over 20 years. It was a fine collection of rare tropical fish, even Egyptian mouth breeders. Now they are all dead. So it goes.
Hagbard wanted to ask the waiter what an Egyptian mouth breeder was, but the old man suddenly nodded, pushed open a doorway to a service room, and disappeared.